At 10 after 7 on the Big 550, time for our weekly visit with Sam Donaldson, brought to you by Heartland Bank. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Paul.
So, you have been covering things in Washington for a really long time.
Long time. Old guy.
Have you ever seen anything as dysfunctional as this Congress?
No, I haven't. I mean, once in a while I've seen Congresses fail to do a job, kick the can down the road. Nothing like this. But you know, Paul, before we just beat up on all those guys and gals on Capitol Hill, who sent them there? Well, you say, no, the folks in St. Louis, they didn't send the guy from New York, and the guy in New York says, we didn't send the people from St. Louis. No, we sent them there with messages. Half of the country said, do not raise a single penny of my taxes or anyone's taxes. Half the country said, do not cut a single penny from my Medicare or Medicaid. And so there they sit, in stalemate, and we sent them there.
Yeah, we really have a group there that absolutely can't compromise, and the people who sent them said that. But I don't think it's half the country in either case. I was talking earlier about a terrific piece in Slate this morning by Michael Moran, who says you can't really blame the people who did vote. You got to blame the people who didn't vote. Only 40% of the people show up and vote in elections like 2006 or 2010, and so we leave it to a fringe minority to rule in Washington and cause crises like this.
I think you're right from the standpoint of who votes. There are about 30 countries in the world that have mandatory voting, some with no penalties much, and some with, like Australia, with stiff financial penalties. No one goes to jail, and so people turn out and vote. And yet the other side of that coin is, if people don't have enough desire to participate in the process, and often that means they don't have enough information, often that means they're not educated, often that means they're not paying attention, do you want them on your jury if you're there with a capital crime charged? I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, part of the other problem is that incumbents tend to get reelected at a greater than 90% rate because people say, yeah, I hate Congress, so you'll vote against your congressman? Oh, no, I like my congressman. It's
that
all
used
of
to
Congress.
Be the case, Paul. That used to be the case. But in the last election, you saw that wasn't the case. I mean, the battle cry of American politics since the beginning of our republic is throw the bums out, whoever the bums happen to be who are in. And that's what happened last time, regardless of whether you were an entrenched incumbent or not.
So do you think this will have an impact on the 2012 elections?
Oh, yes. To hazard a guess as to which way, at this point, it's a little early, although there's about, in most polls, about a 6 percentage point saying that it's the Republicans that caused the problem. But 6 points is not a huge landslide. The president, for instance, is in New Hampshire today. He's campaigning for his own reelection, but also for the extension of the 2% employee cut in Social Security payment and the extension of the unemployment insurance. Both run out at the end of the year.
Yep.
Now, will Congress, normally Congress would approve both of them, and that would be that, but this is not a normal Congress. These are not normal times, and if they don't, who gets blamed? I'm not sure.
The Mitt Romney campaign, and I still think he is likely to be the GOP nominee next year, they start running TV ads in New Hampshire today, slamming President Obama for failing to fix the economy. And, of course, the Obama campaign slams the Mitt Romney ad as a deceitful and dishonest attack. This is going to be the centerpiece of the 2012 election, isn't it?
It's going to get ugly. Well, the reason the Democrats complain about that ad is, at one point, they show Barack Obama from 2008 saying, hey, if we continue to talk about the economy, we're going to lose. What he said was, as my opponent John McCain says, quote, if we continue to talk about the economy, we're going to lose. Well, I don't agree that with him at all. Oh, well, thank you very much. Talk about selective editing. But this is child's play, I think, compared to what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to get really, really ugly. Let's talk about some of the other GOP candidates who would like to pass Mitt in the polls and take that leadership position. And we have seen so many of them come, starting with the Sarah Palin stuff to the Donald Trump stuff to Rick Perry to Michelle Bachmann to now Newt Gingrich has replaced Herman Cain.
Don't forget the Hermanator.
Yeah, but I think Newt has replaced Herman as the guy who's grabbing all the headlines as the I'm not Mitt guy. How long does this, and you know Gingrich from his years in Washington in the 90s, how long before he says something that puts the rest of his foot in his mouth?
Well, he's already doing that. This guy knows things. Some of the others you mentioned, I don't think they know things. They think they do. But Newt Gingrich, the former speaker, he knows things, whether you agree with him or not. But he has this tendency to just shoot off. He had a message he wanted to deliver, I guess, day before yesterday, and he started talking about child labor laws. child labor laws are a disgrace. He says, you know, they keep young kids from learning how to do jobs and getting paid for them. And well, Newt, I think there's some things about child labor laws that could be changed. But when he says they're a disgrace, the headline is, and he doesn't mean this, he says, but Newt Gingrich wants to do away with child labor laws. And that's the way he gets himself in trouble, by shooting off his mouth in a sense that can be used against him.
What was the last time anybody in America debated child labor laws or even brought it up in the public sphere?
No. Well, that's it. When Newt Gingrich first became speaker, he came on our program, the Sunday program, This Week with David Brinkley.
Yep.
And we're talking about they wanted to cut money from some of the programs that aided their children. He said, well, are there no orphanages? And you thought to yourself, that old literary line, are there no prisons? Are there no poorhouses? He gets in trouble because the guy has about five ideas a day. One or two of them are brilliant. One or two of them is okay. And one or two of them are awful. But he doesn't know the difference between them. Someone needs to say, Newt, don't do that one. But that other one you had, that's great.
Yeah, he was also asked this week about the Occupy Wall Street protests, which I want to ask you about in a second. And he said, oh, they need to get a bath and get a job. And I think to myself, I think this is about people who can't find a job. Guys, you know, with two college degrees who are in their 40s or 50s who've been laid off because their corporation is in trouble and the CEOs are getting paid $20 million and these guys can't get a job and they want to protest, and retired people who are worried about their Medicaid and Medicare being taken away. And it's not just a bunch of 18-year-old long-haired, quote, hippies, unquote, who are out there in drum circles. There's a real movement going on out there, and I think that he fails to see that. In the coverage that I see on a lot of the network and cable news channels, it seems to focus on the fringe elements of this and not really on what the core message is of Occupy Wall Street. What's the problem here, Sam?
Well, if it's the news media, the problem is, you know, Grandma bakes a good apple pie. That's not news. That's wonderful. Grandma bakes a good apple pie, but we think has stolen the sugar for the pie. Well, that's what we're going to cover. Look, there are some people who didn't take a bath. But you are correct, Paul, in my view, in describing what's happening in this country. It's almost as bad when Newt says something like that as those two cops who pepper spray those demonstrators who are sitting quietly with their arms folded at the University of California at Davis. That's reprehensible. But that's what we've come to.
So will Occupy Wall Street also have an impact next year, or is this a movement that has yet to really find its footing?
The problem with the movement is it's so diverse. I remember the days of the Vietnam War. I mean, people had one objective, get us out of Vietnam. And they demonstrated. I once saw a million of them in the streets in Washington, an estimated crowd. Now, so all of these people, yes, it started with Wall Street. But if you've got a grievance against government particularly, you join this movement. You protest. And so unless they have a focus, it's hard to see how they can create pressure on a particular point.
All right, we're running out of time here, and I realize I failed to ask you the most important question of the day. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Oh, we're going to have the traditional turkey.
Yeah.
We're going to go out rather than cook. I mean, that's great. And if the family can do that, and Mom or whoever can slave in the kid, we're just going to go out, but we're going to eat turkey.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. It's always a pleasure, Sam.
All right, Paul, and for your listeners, same to you. Bye-bye.
Sam Donaldson from our studios in Washington, D.C. this morning here on the Big 550 KTRS.